Biscuits and Gravy.
Ooh, I like that little remix.
What is
Biscuits and Biscuits and
Nazi Whale Margarine Pirates.
So far, I've had 7 McRibs.
Bullabuck.
Pol Pot Pie.
I'm the prognosticator of prognosticators.
Like a slaughterhouse sangria?
Yeah.
Good morning and aloha, Biscuiteers. You got dialed on into the Truth Network. That's right. This is not NPR. This is BGR. That's right. Biscuits and Gravy. Ayo, ayo. I'm Chuck Sauce. He's Vince Fody. And today, we're going to have an excellent show. We have so much to catch up on.
Yes, we do. Because we were out of the country.
That's right, baby. And we're so we got to come back in without being hassled.
Yes, that is the one benefit of being an American citizen, is that you can re-enter the country somewhat easily.
Somewhat easily, you know. What's going on with the UK? What's with the security? They're so lame.
I don't know.
What's the equivalent of Brexit in America without a state going to civil war? Could a state like half these break up with you? Could a state be like friends with benefits with the government, you know?
Yeah, I don't know. I think only Texas is the only state that when they became a state, it was written into like their state constitution that if they ever want to leave, they're free to do so. But that's why they're always threatening, like, we're going to secede. But
they're like, go for it, loser.
Like,
you know what's going to happen? We're just going to start mining all the oil on the Dakotas that we're sitting on.
Please do secede. We would love that, Texas. Yes. Go for it.
You're like, but first things first, you have to succeed.
That's never going to happen.
That's cool.
California could secede.
California and Hawaii should become a republic together because I seen it on a license plate bumper sticker a month and a half ago, and I can't stop talking about it.
But the bumper sticker was for California and Hawaii?
Yeah, Hawaii-California Republic. What it do, who?
Why is Hawaii involved? We have nothing to offer California.
Yeah, we do.
What?
If California was actually going to be its own country, Hawaii is still great for shipping for military.
Oh, yeah. Well, yeah, we are militarily beneficial.
And Hawaii has a better place to go on vacation. They got stuff to sell to.
I mean, that's the only thing that Hawaii has to offer economically.
Military and vacation?
No, all of our money is generated from tourism.
No, it can't be.
Yeah, and we're basically
but there's, what about those 3 orange trees along the highway?
We're basically just a giant aircraft carrier.
Oh, I dig it.
In the middle of the ocean.
Mm-hmm. I can dig it. She can dig it. We can dig it.
Now,
this is the Biscuits and Gravy Show on KAKU 88.5, the voice of
Gravy.
Uh-huh.
Yeah, let's do a little housekeeping up front. We should mention that this is the Biscuits and Gravy Show. If you're, what was that?
Can I blow my horn?
Yeah, this is the Biscuits and Gravy Show.
Baby.
Set you up for that one. And if you're listening to us on the radio, you're probably listening to us on 88.5 KAKU, the voice of Gravy. And I don't know who needs to hear this, Corky Gardner, but
hello.
We also air live on Channel 55. So if you have a TV, you can watch us live on Channel 55. You can also check out all of our past episodes if you go to biscuitwars.com.
That's right. Chuck it out at biscuitwars.com.
Where you can listen to all of our past episodes for free. You can also look us up on Spotify, Apple Podcasts, Amazon Music, wherever you get your podcasts. Just look up Biscuits and Gravy 808, and you'll be able to find all of our episodes.
Now,
and those are also commercial free.
I get asked sometimes, why aren't we on X? Why aren't we on the TikToks?
I'm on TikTok.
You're on TikTok?
We're not on TikTok.
Yeah, why are we not on TikTok?
But I'm on TikTok.
Yeah.
We don't have anything to TikTok.
Nothing?
No.
We never do anything for our Patreon either.
Well,
we should start.
Don't talk about that, or else our one patron will realize that we're not putting out any content.
I got an idea.
Sorry, Corky.
We didn't get Gravy in Europe.
Sorry, Mike. Oh,
remember,
yeah.
I was in London twice.
We also... We did get marinara sauce.
Yeah.
And Italians in America call that gravy.
Oh, I guess that's
so
true.
I guess we did get gravy in
we
some
also
sense.
We had chicory and walnut sauce, which the girls did not like.
And we got to see our friends from across the pond, spaghetti and meatballs.
Oh, I know. And tea and crumpets very briefly.
Yeah, definitely. And so my sources on the ground are telling me that... Joel won the roast battle?
No way. Really?
Yeah.
Wow.
I mean, I guess that's interesting.
So good for him.
Wow.
And also, if you're wondering what we're talking about, there was a roast battle with all the comedians last night.
Power Up Comedy presented it.
Yes, and I believe it was hosted by Chino LaForge, and that took place at one of my favorite venues, Paella Bay Coffee.
That place is so much fun.
And so that's a great place to go to check out comedy shows.
The old Rockin' Brews next to where Charlie's used to be.
Yeah, and if you are a fan of comedy, you can also check out some of the open mics that they do here on the island. There's one every Monday that's in Paella at Story, and then there's one every Tuesday over at Vibe right here.
Wow.
Right in the heart of Kihei.
One is in the coffee shop and the other one is surrounded by bars. So you got because comedy's not just for getting boozed up.
Yeah, it's for getting booze.
All right.
That's the way Chuck does it.
I'm trying new stuff.
So
it was really funny last night.
Yeah.
When I was talking to myself and waking my wife up. It was so good.
Yeah, you never really know how stuff's going to play when you're writing comedy. A lot of times I'll have like material that I think is super duper funny. And I'm like, this is going to kill.
Heck yeah.
And then I get there and I like tell the joke and nothing.
It's like, you know what? We should just get our tab. That's always great.
And then sometimes you're telling a joke and you have like part of the joke that you don't even think is funny. And people laugh at that. And you're like, oh, that's what's getting the laughs. All right. Yeah, well, it's got to. Got to incorporate that into the joke and kind of center it around that.
I went through a brief phase where I would just stop talking when I'm like, oh, they got a laugh there? All right, on to something else.
Yeah.
I already made it. And then I went through a phase where I was like an accordion and I stretched stuff out too much. That's not a good phase. And then I started tightening it back up again.
Yeah, that's how you are now. Nice and tight.
I do that bend, man. It's so good.
So you do want to talk about our trip?
Yeah, for those of you just tuning into the Biscuits and Gravy Show, for those of you living under a rock, congratulations. Say hi to all the worms for me. Vince and I went on a lovely vacation, and our wives were nice enough to tag along for most of it.
Yeah.
Yeah, not like the educational stuff, but they liked a good chunk of it.
Unfortunately, our wives did come along.
Yeah.
But you and I had a great time.
The greatest of times. We were supposed to go to Venice, Milan, and Florence, and we did go to Milan and Florence, but there was a fire
in London. I went to Rome.
And apparently all of the United Kingdom's energy comes from this one, like, waterfall. they have, like, windmill technology that catches on fire.
They have, like, one solar panel. And because it's always cloudy in London and foggy, like, they didn't get any sun that day.
And they forgot. There's, like, a tea named after him, London Fog.
No, actually, what happened was there was a giant fire.
The Russians did it.
Near the Heathrow Airport. That's one of the conspiracies, is that it was an attack by the Russians.
Mm-hmm.
But near the Heathrow Airport.
Textbook Russia.
That's the largest airport in London. And it's also the third largest airport in the world, I believe.
It's pretty darn tootin' huge.
It's a huge airport.
It's unnecessarily big.
Well, there was a fire at a power station nearby, which supplies the entire airport with all of its power. And they also decided it would be a good idea to put their backup generator, like, power supply in that same place.
That's right. I always keep my backup food, in case the refrigerator goes out, in the same refrigerator.
And so the fire knocked out all of the power to the Heathrow Airport, which crippled global air traffic. It was one of the largest disruptions of global air traffic since the Iceland volcano.
Yes.
Remember when that happened?
Yeah, man.
Also, like a year ago, there was something, Microsoft released some sort of update and it crippled all of the computers in the entire world.
Microsoft.
So that wasn't great for Microsoft.
Can you imagine Microsoft has that much power when they're messing up? Imagine how much power they have if they were, like, evil and wanted to do something worse.
And guess when this fire happened at the Heathrow Airport?
14 minutes before we should have been in the air.
Yeah, it was while we were getting on the plane, and we were literally sitting on the plane getting ready to take off to go to Heathrow Airport, and the captain came on, and they're like, so this is your captain speaking. We're just about to tell you that there's a fire at the Heathrow Airport. So we're going to reopen the doors. Everybody can get off the plane.
Yeah, if you want to stay, you can. If you want to stay here, you can. I'll tell you right. He was
but they
so
were,
blunt.
They were just being polite about us staying on the plane because we did choose to stay on the plane for a little while we like looked up options of what we were going
to
do.
And they had a magic word that they were trying to use and do to get us off the plane. And meanwhile, I'm wearing one of our radio show shirts.
You were wearing a shirt that said biscuits.
Yeah.
And the lady kept coming up to us and being like, would you guys like some old biscuits? And we're like, Yeah.
Yeah, we do. And then the second time, she said biscuits five times. But and then it was every time after that, she kept saying, like, exponentially more amount of biscuits.
And then we started to become aware that they were passive-aggressively trying to get us to, like, get off the plane.
Yeah, because like the Fibonacci sequence of biscuits.
They're like, just keep offering them biscuits until they get off the plane. And we're like, that's not going to work. We want biscuits.
We also asked for wine. Like, sorry, love, we can't give you any wine. We're like, yes, you can. We saw you do it to first class. But you get Wi-Fi and we don't, huh? Yeah. But they can use our bathrooms? What's up with that?
What's up with that?
What's up with that? Why do children get to go on the plane first, but they also get to leave first? They should just stay there forever.
So eventually we did get off the plane, and we were in Seattle at that point. So we had an extended layover in Seattle while British Airways tried to find a different way to get us to...
Honestly, it was pretty dope.
Yeah, so we had a nice little extended vacation in Seattle. We got to go see Mount Olympus.
Mm-hmm.
And we got to go see Mount Rainier.
Rainier, and it was rainier as heck that day.
And we went to Pike's Place Market.
They throw the fish.
Where they throw the fish.
They throw the fish.
And so we got to have a fun time in Seattle. We went to the original Starbucks.
Uh-huh. The logo's a little bit different. And the coffee, they had their own coffee roast. It was pretty darn good.
They have a proprietary coffee roast that's specific to that location. And I got to try it. They did it pour over for me. It was really good.
Also, they didn't know how to make coffee. Because no one orders coffee from Starbucks.
Yeah, so when they had to actually make the real brewed coffee where they do the pour over, that was the one that took the longest. They're like, wait, you want just regular coffee?
I'm like, you're sure you don't want 8 scoops of sugar and whipped cream?
Yeah.
Well, I do,
but I like want to taste the coffee because you said I can only get it here, right?
Yeah.
They're like, well.
Like, I guess.
But eventually, after our surprise Seattle vacation, we made it to Italy.
Mm-hmm.
So we got to Milan, and I gotta say, that night that we spent in Milan, we like got there, we got all of our stuff unpacked, and I was like, we gotta go out and celebrate the fact that we finally got to Italy.
Yeah, dog!
Better late than never. And so we're like, well, where are we gonna find, like, where we can go out and, like, eat and drink at this hour? Because it was already, like, 11 o'clock at night. We found this restaurant right around the corner, and they hand us a menu. And I'm looking through all the entrees and everything. I'm like, is everything available? They're like, yeah, obviously.
I'm just going to sell weed for another hour. What do you think I'm doing?
I couldn't believe it. Like, the full menu was still available, and we got, like, 6 entrees.
Well, that's what's so great traveling with
and
you.
2 bottles of wine.
Yeah,
it was so good.
Baby. Mm.
So that was our first night in Milan, and that was such a special night. All the servers that worked there were super cool. The one guy was a real jokester.
Oh, yeah.
He reminded me of myself.
Then he ran out of jokes, and he tag-teamed the other jokester. I liked the second guy joking more.
The second guy was a big jokester.
Now, here's the question. Did they cut
I asked
the
him if
pizza?
I could have more ketchup for my pizza, and he brought as a joke, and he brought me over like a ramekin full of ketchup packets. they had so much fun.
Yeah, it was so good. The chicken Milanese.
We got the chicken Milanese.
The pasta, man.
And also,
I cried.
We ordered like 3 or 4 entrees, and the guy was like, and the tagliolini, right? And we're like, no, let's wait and see. And he's like, okay. And then after we were eating our food, he's like, so you want the tagliolini now? We're like, yeah, bring it on.
Yeah, and then we got another pizza after that.
And then when we got done, he's like, okay, you ready for some pizza? And we're like, no, we're all full.
The pizza was so good.
He was like, no, you guys want the pizza. And then we got the pizza, too, and the pizza was really good.
And another bottle of wine. All right.
I don't think they cut the pizzas in Italy.
What's up with that? They should.
They have too much respect for it. They're like, we would never cut the pizza.
I'm like, well, how do you want me to eat it? Am I just going to eat it like unraveling yarn? Like, you start with the crust and then go your way in like a Mesmer circle?
And then both of
Actually,
the couples.
That sounds good. Do you want to have a video where we eat pizza like that?
Yes.
All right. Let's do it, baby. Tony, can you take over?
We'll cut it into a big spiral, and then we'll Lady and the Tramp it. And then both the couples.
That means I go in the vault for 30 years, right?
Me and my wife, and then you and your wife, the governor.
Governor Chris Christie.
We both did our own little, like, we went our own way for one day. So when the first day that you went to Florence, Diana and I went to Rome for the day. And our stay in Rome was very much like when Cartman goes to Casa Bonita, where he's just running around trying to do everything.
Yeah.
So we're like, okay, let's go to Five Guys. By the way, we did go to Five Guys Burger and Fries in Rome, because I was like, wouldn't it be funny if we went to Five Guys, but Now, Diana loves Five Guys.
How was it? How were the fries? How was the beef?
It was great.
Yeah?
Yeah, it was all good. It was on par with Five Guys here in the States. If not, maybe even a little better. It all tasted super good.
The beef in Italy is pretty darn tootin' yummy no matter where you go.
It was pretty awesome, I gotta say. Yeah. So we had a great time in Rome. We're running around. We're like, okay, we gotta go see the Colosseum. Take a picture. Okay, we gotta go to the Trevi Fountain. All right, cool. Now we gotta run over to the Vatican. And then so we went to the Vatican, and we were a little bit late getting to the Vatican. We only wanted to go to the museums because I wanted to go see the Sistine Chapel. And our Uber driver dropped us off in like the wrong place. And so
Uber.
We were like 15 minutes late. And we get there, and we're like all sweating, like, oh no, they're not going to let us in. And we just get there, and the guy's like, okay, let me see all your tickets. And the Italians, they play
they're so
it fast.
Casual.
They don't care about anything.
They're casual now.
They play it fast and loose. They're on Hawaii time.
Yeah, dog.
They're just like us.
They're so cool.
They're like, oh, you're late? Okay, go ahead. And so yeah. We went in, and we got to go tour the whole like
the Vatican
museums and everything. It was so great, and I got to see the Sistine Chapel, which was, I mean, you see pictures of it your whole life, but when you see it in real life, it's like, wow, it's breathtaking being
also,
there.
Also, you pointed out something about it that I had no idea. The Sistine Chapel's ginormous, as we all know,
yeah.
But it's not painted by just one painter?
Well, everybody knows that Michelangelo did the ceiling.
Yeah.
But also, like, Botticelli and a bunch of other Renaissance artists.
They did from the windows to the walls.
Did a lot of things around the side as well,
yeah.
Which I didn't know.
Botticelli on the side.
But only Michelangelo gets all the credit. But to be fair, I mean, the ceiling's the best part.
And it's the hardest part to paint.
Yeah.
Right.
Yeah. It almost crippled him, and he started losing some of his eyesight from having to like lay on his back and paint and everything.
Whoa.
Yeah. So it took a very hard toll on Michelangelo painting the ceiling, but it paid off because it looked really nice. Ooh. And he got paid the equivalent of like $600,000 in today's currency.
Oh.
So.
I think didn't he do it like 2 years?
I think it was like 4 years, something like that. Yeah, so he made out pretty good.
I think the church screwed him over.
Well,
how much money are they making from it now?
It wouldn't be the first time.
All right.
Are you saying that like they should be paying residuals to Michelangelo's estate?
Yeah, like do we get residuals on the show?
No.
Oh, okay.
They don't even pay Tony. You think they're going to pay us? So Diana and I had a great time in Rome, and then we got to Florence. We hung out together in Florence, and then there was a day where you and Christy went off and did your own thing. You went to Siena, I believe, and you went to like this medieval town over by Siena.
And then we went out to Chianti, and it was just hills, hills, hills.
Did you taste some Chiantis?
Yeah, and we did a wine tasting and food pairing.
Did you have some fava beans?
No fava beans. They had...
That was a Silence of the Lambs reference.
Cannellini beans, I think.
Cannellini.
Cannellini beans, yeah. And then it really could meet, like, oh, the prosciutto was so good.
Yeah. Speaking of prosciutto, we did a walking tour, a walking food tour of Florence.
Oh, man, with Anna.
And our host, Anna, was very nice. She was so knowledgeable.
And so funny.
She knew everything about history and all the food and everything about Florence and anything you would ask her. She, like, knew the answer to right away.
And Florence likes to rip on other towns.
Yeah.
So the way
tell
that,
your
like,
mama jokes also.
Some people would rip on, like, the South. That's the way they rip on people from Pisa.
Yeah, apparently Pisa is Italy's New Jersey.
Yeah.
They say Pisa merda, which I can't say the English translation, but we can say it in Italian.
It's Italy's Poland.
They would have to bleep that out on spaghetti and meatballs.
Yeah.
And so one of the first things that we ate, we went to this little bakery, which was run by like an 80-year-old lady, and we got something called coccoli.
Oh,
and the coccoli is basically, it's like a fried dough, like a malasada.
It's a fritter, almost.
And they cut it open, and on the inside, they have like this aged cream cheese and prosciutto that's stuffed with.
And the cream cheese is so tangy.
The cream cheese is a cheese. It's called stracchino cheese.
Mm-hmm. Do you know how they make it?
I do. Because stracchino means tired.
Yeah.
And they use the cows that are tired.
Yeah.
And so the cheese that they make from...
Tastes sour.
From tired cows.
Because of animal cruelty.
Yes, exactly.
And it's delicious.
It's like the foie gras of cheese.
So it's when they come down from the mountains into the pastures. And that's when they milk them before they go out to pasture.
Yeah, when they're all tired from walking. Yeah. And then they make the stracchino cheese, which is like a... It's like a bitter... Not bitter, but like a tangy... Cream cheese, almost.
Yeah, but unlike sour cream, its flavor profile is just transcendent.
Do you know what coccoli means? What it translates to?
Heart.
Cuddles.
Oh my god!
Isn't that cute?
Because it's a little bit of a pillow.
It's so adorable. Ah. So we had the little coccoli, And that was one of the best things that we ate while we were there.
We had a whole other sandwich later in the day that was also muy delicioso.
And we had a pasta called peachy pasta.
That was slamming. I think
which
that
is
was
basically,
my...
it's like a bucatini without the hole in the middle. Yeah. It's just like a really fat, round noodle.
It's like the Italian version of udon. It's so good.
Yeah. Yeah. And we had it with a bolognese there at that restaurant. We had a couple other things as well.
Here's a pile of meat. Also, they were like, you guys are only drinking a liter and a half of wine, but it's four of you.
And also, it's like, we're like, yeah, we're saving room for like the real alcohol. And they're like, we don't have that.
Yeah.
It's like every restaurant that we tried to go to, you tried to order like a martini and they're like, no.
One of them.
Like what?
Her mouth went inside her face. Like, she was so
what
pissed.
Kind of wine is a martini? Yeah. They're like, no, it's like vodka. They're like, we don't have vodka wine. It's like, no, it's not wine.
Martino?
It's not wine.
You have espresso martinis. So you have espresso. You have vodka. We don't have just vodka.
We went to this market and it was so funny, dude. The girl who was working at the market, she was letting us taste all these different types of like balsamic vinegars and olive oils and cheeses. They gave us this pistachio cream, which is one of the best things I've ever tasted.
Ever had. I complimented her on her hat, and she talked about how much she hated it for 3 minutes.
Yeah.
They're so honest and open.
Apparently,
I love it.
Apparently, the hat that she was wearing was part of the uniform, like, and she didn't
yes,
like wearing
it. Yes, the owner. And she like stared.
It's like, the owner makes a me wear it. So it's funny, like when you make fun of the way it Italian people talk, it's always like you say you put an A after everything,
but they really do.
But the girl was doing it almost comedically, like so much, literally every single word. She was like, here in Italia, a wea, a lava, oliva, oil. And I was like trying not to laugh. She was so funny.
Yeah. Even when she said extra virgin olive oil, she put A's after extra virgin olive oil.
Extra oliva
oil.
She was a little cutie pie. She
was
so
much
fun. Oh, my
God, I know. She was a unicorn. She's hot redhead.
She's like, we love a cheese.
I asked her for recommendations, and she told me to follow my nose. I'm like... And then she immediately transitioned into, and how do you find truffles? And I'm like, hey, lady.
Yeah. We're like, what kind of animal do they use? We're like, pig. She's like, wrong. Oh, we use a dog.
She's like, what kind of animal? I'm like, dog? What kind of animal? A dog.
And then the piece de resistance. The pretty much the best thing that I had the entire time was we went on for my birthday. First of all, my birthday, the whole day was amazing. Mm-hmm. It started off with us doing this pasta making class. We get to this pasta making class, and you guys all take off your hoodies and jackets, and underneath you're wearing shirts with my face on it that says it's Fodi's birthday. Mm-hmm. And then you had a shirt for me that said, I am Fodi.
And it was a picture taken of you at your birthday last year.
Yeah, I'm wearing my birthday shirt.
We were in Japan, and we were at the Kill Bill restaurant.
Yeah, and so we made ravioli, and we made like a little tagliatelle, and we got to eat all the food there. They cooked the pasta for us after we made it. And then later that night, what was the name of the restaurant that we went to?
Ooh, La something something.
La Padella or something like that. I forget
what it was. Pastella.
And then that was the restaurant where they cook like truffle fettuccine alfredo in they flambe it in a giant cheese wheel. That was one
they bring over brandy and they light it on fire. They tell you the story. They bring over pasta that's just boiled, like they bring over a whole nother tray and the pasta's just boiling there. It was the perfect al dente because some of the pasta, and I was like, whoa, this is really al dente.
Yeah, they cook all the pasta al dente and the risotto.
Yeah, which I really dig. I was like, oh, my God, I can taste each individual rice.
Yeah. Now, I'm going to be honest. I like risotto when it's al dente, but you know what? I also like mushy risotto. I'm not going to lie.
Yeah.
I like a big old bowl of mush.
That's why I like polenta.
Yeah, polenta. It's a big old pile of mush. I love it.
So they put white and black truffle oil in it, and then they shave truffles
on top of it. Oh, my God. It was so good. What did you get that night?
I got a steak in foie gras reduced Chianti over mashed potatoes with mushrooms.
Yeah. Diana got a risotto that had pigeon in it.
Yeah, and it tasted like even more savory or beefy than duck.
It was really great.
Yeah.
And it was
It was not like eating quail or chicken at all. It was very dark maroon colored.
Man, the food that we had on that trip was just amazing.
Every step of the way.
The one restaurant we went to, they had the fried zucchini flowers that were stuffed with ricotta cheese.
Yeah.
And that was like one of the best things I've ever tasted.
But you
also
didn't like the cow brains. We ate cow brains, guys.
We did eat fried cow brains. And it wasn't the flavor, because brain has a very specific flavor. I've had it before. When you taste it, you're like, oh, that's brain. Mm-hmm. Like, you can tell right away. And I remember, like, it's not that I don't like the flavor. It's the texture of it. It's kind of like mushy, like tofu. And it's I'm not a fan of tofu either.
It's like ricotta
either.
If you put it in the freezer for
it's like
half an hour.
Mushy, slimy kind of.
I loved it.
Yeah, I know.
I slurped it up.
You, Christy, and Diana all really liked it.
Yeah.
I mean, I still ate my portion of it. It's just not my favorite.
You know what?
I would pass on the brains next time.
I found my limit, though, because we ordered the lard. We ordered actual lard.
So it's just like sliced lard. It looked like sliced turkey breast.
Yes.
But then it had sun-dried tomatoes and everything with it,
I think,
which is
I
really
found
good.
My limit on how directly I can eat fat. I think I didn't eat my full quarter share.
You didn't eat your quarter share of lard?
I didn't eat my quarter share. It was good. But it's like in Max Payne where everything slows down. I take a bite and I'm like, this can't be good.
And then that was where we got the bistecca florentina.
Oh my God, aged Italian steak.
Yeah, so the steak florentine was fantastic there.
Mm-hmm. Bone in, baby.
I don't think we had a bad meal.
No.
Our somebody told us to go when we went to Rome to get, I think it was the guy that did the pasta making class, Clive.
Yeah.
He told us when we go to Rome.
No, it's our taxi driver, Uber driver from Romania.
Oh, yeah, yeah.
That was our most talkative. Our only nice taxi or Uber driver was from Romania. the Italians.
He also spoke the best English.
Yeah.
Yeah.
What up, Romania?
It's funny because we just had a question on Chuck Stuff from Knowledge Buffalo last week about Romania.
I know, and I didn't know they're dictators. Yeah. I should have.
Cescu. He also recommended Amarone. And I was like, bro, you don't have to tell me. I really love Amarone. I love Amarones. I love Barolos.
Barolos, man. Brunellos.
Yeah, Brunello is very similar to Amarone, but he also recommended a Barolo, which is like, Barolos are like a little bit drier, but they're also like, it's like a cab, like a big, jammy, like fruity wine, but it's a little bit drier than like a cab.
Man, I like the dark super, color. I love Super Barolos. Tuscans, but what I usually don't like is Chianti.
Yeah.
And I had nothing but good things to say about the Chianti on this trip.
We had a lot of Sangioveses while we were there.
Oh, my God. And we had a $1.70
Montepulciano, yeah, that we got from the Aldi.
$1.
Whenever we travel.
My breath mints cost more than this wine.
That's true. Whenever we travel abroad, we always go to Aldi. And Aldi always has a bottle of wine for like $1.50.
Yeah.
It's crazy.
And you know what? It was pretty good.
But how are those breath mints, though?
I mean, They're more good for everyone else but me. They're very potent mints.
So, man, we had so much good food, but also like just like going to the museums and doing all the absorbing all the culture and everything was there.
Just eating on the sidewalk.
Yeah.
We went to Chinatown.
Street food.
Had to get
everything.
My fix in, baby.
Everything was so good.
I ate Ethiopian food for the first time, and it was in Seattle. It was so good.
What I was going to say about the taxi driver was that he said that carbonara is originally like a Roman dish, like from Rome. He was like, if you go to Rome, you should try the carbonara. So we got the carbonara when we went to Rome as well, in addition to the Five Guys, Cinque Ragazzi. And
it's cheesier in Rome,
and it was like it's a lot eggier also. And so that was really good. The museums that we went to were fantastic.
Put cream in our.
We went to a bunch
of what we don't.
Yeah, we went to a bunch of museums. So we did the Galleria Academia, and that was where they had the Statue of David, right?
Yep, and then the Four Slaves, which I found out that even though it's the term that the tour used, it's a term that historians call these unfinished marbles, so they call them slaves because they're trapped in there forever without being set free. I wrote a review about it on Google, and it got flagged.
They're like, you can't say slave.
And I'm like, I put it in quotes, first of all, and it's depicting what they were.
That's what this called.
Yeah.
Oh, well.
So I had to change it.
And then Diana and I went to the Uffizi Gallery in Florence as well.
Because you guys
had already been there.
Yeah.
And so they had a lot of Botticelli stuff. We got to see The Birth of Venus.
And you got to see the Medusa, which is Medusa. Painted on a circle.
Yeah, there's so much good stuff in the Uffizi Gallery.
But and the building itself is the old Medici family, and so it's just, the building itself is it's a piece of history and so beautiful on its own.
Medici.
Yeah.
Yeah, there's also a, there's like a room called the Tribune, and it's basically you just look in this room, and the whole thing is like lined with opalescent shells and like,
ooh,
like
say opalescent again.
Marble floors. It's just gorgeous.
Opalescent.
Say it.
Opalescent.
Ooh, baby.
And so we got to see a lot of cool stuff there. There's also another Botticelli artwork. I forget what it's called, but it's like the chicks in the forest with the orange trees.
Yeah.
So cool.
I liked the...
all the pictures of Jesus?
Yeah.
So
the pictures of fat Jesus with no depth perception.
In all the Italian Renaissance like museums, 99% of the artwork is all pictures of either Jesus or Mary with Jesus on her lap. It's so, like the same thing over and over
also,
again.
And also, Mary is like an A cup in this. And then they can't paint children. For some reason, there's not enough children in the 13 to 1400s. So it just looks like a fat, shaved adult is on her lap. Like a, like you shrunk down an image of like the Michelin man.
Every baby looks like his name is like Greg.
Yeah, and Greg's 43 he's got, years old.
And he's got like a receding hairline.
Yeah, like what?
It's like, I don't think that's what babies look like.
His fingernails look old. And like you got like old man fingernails.
And did they not have depth and shadows in the 1300s?
No,
did shadows not exist?
Shadows. We went to a leather working shop.
Actually,
and we met Nosferatu. Remember that?
Actually, wasn't there like a mini ice age because of like a volcanic eruption that blocked
that was
out
in
the sun?
That was in the 1800s with Mary Shelley.
1800s? Because
yeah.
That would account for why there would be no shadows.
No shadows?
Yeah.
All of the-
Everything's ambient light.
Like at all the times, are the shadows in your dreams?
There was no clear
would
light.
Would he dream or
so,
the shadows?
I don't know. No, it's always exactly noon in all my dreams.
Listeners, do you dream of shadows? Give us a call at 808-873-3435.
It's always high noon in my dreams.
You got it dialed into the Biscuits and Gravy Show on KAKU 88.5, the voice of pasta.
Gravy.
Yeah.
And so you go into one room of the museum, and it's like all these paintings of Jesus on the cross, and it's from like 1100, and you're like, okay, cool. And then you go into the next room, and it's like 900 more paintings of Jesus on the cross. It's like, guys, come on.
Yeah.
Almost all the paintings were also, it was like, the Adoration of the Magi. And then you go into the next room and every other painting is the Adoration of the Magi. It's like, okay, the Magi adored Jesus. I get it.
Yeah, it's like they have only three memes to use. It's
That's
so
why when we went to the Impressionist Museum, that was so cool. Because like the Impressionists came along in like the 1800s and 1900s. And they're like, hey, we got an idea. What if we did a painting of something that's not Jesus?
Yeah, or not a horse.
And everybody was like, whoa, this is crazy.
Not the Jesus.
You can't paint a not the Jesus.
What are you going to paint? Flowers and gardens and ponds and people eating picnics and a lot of boats stuck in the mud? Who knew that paintings of boats stuck in the mud would be so cool?
Yeah.
Also, imagine you're that fisherman and your boat is stuck in the mud and your horse is stuck in mud and some guy...
So they did have rich, horses, though, too, right,
some
Jeff?
Rich... Yeah, all right. Some rich snob is just painting your misery all day. Like, don't look at me!
Don't look at me!
This doesn't always happen!
He's like, can you help me?
Like, yeah, could you stand over there a little bit?
It's like the National Geographic people when the penguins are struggling to get up the hill. They're like, can you, like, help us not die? Like, the turtles are getting run over by cars and the guy's like, behind the camera just watching it like, all right.
I gotta capture this.
Yeah, look at that. Mm. Like, making turtle snuff films.
So two things I really liked about Florence, other than everything, was we met a wine chud.
A wine chud,
and there are wine doors. So there used to be hundreds of these doors in Florence, and during like the blossoming years, 1,000 years ago and 500 years ago. Imagine they didn't drink water; they're all just drinking wine all the time.
Everybody was just hammered all the time.
So much that there's essentially
you would get
fast
sick from drinking the water.
Wine. They just knock twice, and then you hand them your flask.
They weren't drive-through windows, but they were like walk-by windows.
Yeah,
like they had the cannabis shop in Seattle. They didn't have a drive-through window at the cannabis shop, but they did have a walk-up window.
Can't trust those stoners.
And so they had the same thing for wine in the Middle Ages. You would just walk up, and they'd hand you a wine thing
through their door.
And they still have it today, where there's a couple places where you can walk up and order a wine through a hole in the wall.
And guess what? It was good.
But then there was one guy that wasn't a hole in the wall. It was just a guy in the basement serving it out of a window. So you just walk up, and it was like a underground wine troll.
Oh, man. Wine troll.
Although
wine troll.
You didn't get to go to the McDonald's. I saw a commercial for McDonald's on Italian television, and it's like, get the smoky, a bacon, a burger from a McDonald's.
And it was bacon, not pancetta.
Yeah, and so the McDonald's near our hotel was open 24 hours.
Man, we did have to walk past the McDonald's. It was very tempting. This, I think, might be my first trip abroad where I didn't eat
at a McDonald's.
At a McDonald's. I like to try it. I like to try it when you're around. Yeah. Abroad.
The one in Japan is awesome. They have the Mega Max, which is two burgers on the top and bottom. And they also have the Samurai Mac, which is, it's got like this like savory soy sauce aioli on it. So good.
I had a bite of a Big Mac when I was in
Japan. The smoky bacon burger at McDonald's was okay. It wasn't anything special. Mm. It had a good like smoky aioli sauce on it.
Did we have a good... Oh, we had Wendy's in the airport.
Yeah, your wife bought me some Wendy's.
Wendy's Baconator, bro. So good.
I was so sick that day.
Yeah.
I was feeling good like the whole trip, and then the last day when it came time to travel, I got sick. I got like an Italian cold that was fighting a war against my immune system. But fortunately, halfway through, it gave up and switched sides. Boom!
All right. Roasted.
Where's the bell? There we go.
Baby. All right. So while we were gone... America's doing really well. They're making really good decisions.
I mean, it didn't get any worse than when we left. So that's good. Do you want to do a little follow-up junction?
I would love to do some follow-up junction.
We've got so much stuff to talk about. We don't have that much time left, but let's just talk about a couple things, okay?
KKU 88.5, the voice of...
Gravy.
That's right. This is the Biscuits and Gravy Show. We are on every Wednesday at 11 a.m. and on Saturdays at 4 p.m., and you can watch us a million times a day at channel 55, sometimes channel 54.
Yeah.
And what's our socials? Where else can people get in contact with
us? You can find us on Instagram at biscuitsandgravy808. Also, if you have questions that you want to mail in for Chuck Stuff Knowledge Buffalo, you can email those to biscuitsandgravy808@gmail.com. And also look us up on Spotify, Apple Podcasts, wherever you get your podcast from. Just look us up, biscuitsandgravy808@gmail.com. We're also on Patreon, biscuitsandgravy808. This week for Follow-Up Junction.
Follow-Up Junction, yeehaw!
Something that we talked about a little while ago was, we've talked about many times on the show, the fact that the movie Dogma, by the way, if you've never seen Dogma, great Kevin Smith movie, the first movie that made dumb religious people protest him, but it wasn't the last Kevin Smith movie that made dumb religious people protest him.
Ah, man.
But Dogma is a really great movie with Ben Affleck, Matt Damon, Chris Rock, Jason Lee, Selma Hayek plays a stripper, slash muse. Mm. She's so gorgeous.
Mm. Chris Rock's fantastic in that movie. And George Carlin.
Yeah. Both of which are no longer with us.
And guess who God is in the movie?
It's what's her face?
You ought to know. It's Alanis Morissette, baby.
Yeah.
Woo!
Speaking of which, Dave Coulier, cancer-free.
Oh.
So good for him.
Mm.
The movie Dogma, if you've never seen it, great movie. If you are younger and you haven't seen it, there's probably a reason for that. It's because we talked about this before on the show. Harvey Weinstein owned the rights to the movie. And then because Kevin Smith spoke out against Harvey Weinstein publicly, he like took the rights and like was squatting on them and wouldn't release it digitally. He wouldn't release it on any streaming thing, like just to spite Kevin Smith.
This is the first and only time a producer used their power for evil.
And so, yeah, especially Harvey Weinstein.
Yeah, evil.
And so you couldn't stream it anywhere. You couldn't buy it on Blu-ray or anything.
It would be on YouTube all the time.
It was on YouTube. It was on YouTube for free, actually.
Yeah.
It probably still is. But Harvey Weinstein finally gave the rights back to Kevin Smith, which was really nice of him to
do. First good thing he's ever done.
And they're going to do like a 25th anniversary re-release in the theaters soon,
so
we can like go
can't
to the
wait.
Movies and watch Dogma. So if you haven't seen Dogma, go check it out. Yeah. Highly recommend.
Buy the gold cow, everybody.
Mm. It's
How's your tea?
It's worth it for Selma Hayek's boobies alone.
Mm-mm.
The most offensive thing religious wise about that movie is that it has Jason Lee in it, who's a Scientologist. Everything else is spot on. Okay. Also, we have a Morningwood Follow-Up Junction crossover.
Oh man.
So we've talked about on the show, go ahead, blow the whistle there. We've talked about
on
the show mummy porn.
Yeah, dog.
And one of the things that made it hard to find porn involving actual mummies is the fact that when you Google
British people
call mom mummies, right? So when you Google mummy porn, a lot of it is British MILF porn. But there's also another...
And there's nothing wrong with that.
There's also another very specific type of porn called mummy porn. There's a kink out there where people like to get wrapped up in saran wrap like a mummy.
Mm-hmm.
Have you seen that
so at all? I first saw it in a Kathy Bates movie called Fried Green Tomatoes.
Wait, what?
She wraps herself... She tries to seduce her own husband. She wraps herself up in saran wrap.
That's in Fried Green Tomatoes?
That's in Fried Green Tomatoes.
I've never seen Fried Green Tomatoes.
The storyline's great. The filming's pretty good. It's a beautiful film. I think the accents are heinous, and it irks me to no end. I can't watch it in full anymore.
Well, anyway, there's a very esoteric kink called mummy porn where people like to get wrapped up in saran wrap.
Or cling wrap.
Mm. Or, you know, it doesn't have to be brand name.
Yeah.
Some people like... getting wrapped up in other stuff, but most of the time it's saran wrap.
I like to be tucked in, but I don't like sex afterwards.
And so there was this lady. Her name was, hold on, let me get my notes here.
Also, did you purposely wear a mummy goofy shirt today?
No, that is non-related, but I am wearing a shirt that has one of my favorite Disney characters, Goofy,
mm-hmm.
and he's dressed up like a spooky mummy.
Ooh,
isn't that scary?
Mummy.
And so there's a...
Because you know a lot about this fetish here, is all I'm saying, and you're wearing a mummy shirt, you know, and you're like,
you know, well,
it is by accident.
Maybe it's not as esoteric as you think, Chuck.
Ah, all right.
By the way, are you just wearing underwear, like boxers, or are those actual shorts?
You know what's funny? I don't know what these are.
I think that's underwear.
Oh, really?
I think you're not wearing pants, Chuck.
I mean, I'm not wearing underwear, or I am only wearing underwear.
I can see your balls very clearly defined.
Oh.
All right. Well, stand up and show the camera. No. don't do that. So this OnlyFans star, her name was Michaela Reilersdam, 31 years old.
Nice.
She... got hired by a guy named, what's his name? Michael Dale, to wrap him up like a mummy and then dance seductively for him while he was wrapped up like a mummy. Oh, he also wanted high-heeled shoes to be glued onto his feet once he was wrapped up like a mummy.
Word.
So, you know, nothing weird.
Word.
We don't yuck anybody's yum here at the Biscuits and Gravy Show.
No, we don't.
If that's what you're into, that's what you're into. And yeah. Apparently he was really into it because he paid her $11,000 to do this, right? So, nice payday for her. But she, like, wrapped him up.
Who had to buy the heels?
She put duct tape over his face.
Oh.
His mouth and nose.
Something's telling me you need that.
And then also saran wrapped, like, his entire body and his face.
I'm sure this ended
well. And then he died of asphyxiation.
That's crazy.
And his hands, like, his arms and everything were saran wrapped down because he was fully wrapped up like a mummy.
Uh-huh.
So he couldn't move his arms, and he was, like, struggling there. And I guess she was, like... making a video and dancing and everything, and he's like flopping around on the floor.
Was she live streaming it?
Asphyxiating. She wasn't live streaming it. She was just making a video.
She's playing Van Halen, Dance the Night Away, and he's just dying in the background.
And so the guy died, and now she's being charged with second degree murder.
Now, here's
the thing. I kind of feel for her because it's like, on the one hand, the guy did pay her to do that, you know, and... at any time, he could have stopped her from doing that. Like, this was what he wanted. But then on the other hand, it's like,
should you
know
that you
need to
breathe?
If you put duct tape and saran wrap over somebody's mouth and nose and face, I mean, it doesn't take a genius to know that you're not going to be able to breathe. You know what I mean?
Plus, you kind of put like a kill switch in there where you could rip the whole thing off in one pull.
Yeah, well, I don't know. If you can do that, then you're not being properly mummy wrapped.
Also,
I think being like bound up is part of the
kink.
Here's
the thing,
right?
What a way to get found by the paramedics.
That sucks. It sucks for everybody involved.
Yeah,
it sucks that guy had to pay $11,000 to get somebody to do it. It sucks that he died.
Oh, and she didn't even have to have sex with him?
No.
Whoa.
I would do that for $11,000. I would. If you want to get mummy wrapped and you don't want to die from asphyxiation, I'll do it for $10,000. You get $1,000
off. Oh, hey, you're undercutting the hard workers out there.
Well, okay. All right.
Scab.
I will do it for $5,000.
Oh, wow. This is the only time a man would make less than a woman do it.
I'll put a straw in your mouth so you can breathe. It'll be great.
Oh, that's it. Yeah.
Yeah.
What's that?
He needed like a snorkel or something.
Where
bring me an avocado and a snorkel.
where Nicolas Cage has to watch the first lady and she gets kidnapped and they put a snorkel in her mouth so she could breathe through the dirt.
What? I never saw that movie.
I'm pretty sure it's a movie and not a dream. You know what I'm talking about?
Was Venus and Serena Williams there?
Yes. Oh!
Yeah, All right. That was a Chuck dream.
All right. It's not called Driving Miss Daisy, but it's along that line.
So we'll keep you posted as to what happens to Michaela Ryersdam. Also, she has a husband. She's black. Her husband is white. So very progressive of him.
Mm.
And he lets her do OnlyFans stuff. Cool.
Wow.
But maybe he should have been there to supervise and be like, baby, men, I don't know if you know this about men, but they have to be able to breathe.
That's crazy. Crazy. I want Susan Saran Wrap in to do it.
Okay.
All right.
Let's do a quick gluttony club.
Oh, yeah. Well, I mean, I feel like we did a little bit of gluttony club in the beginning.
Well, I've got something that doesn't pertain to the food that we ate in Italy.
All right.
This is something I've been hyping up for a while. I've been talking about the Vince Foti's Ultimate Korean Burger.
Yes. We all remember you hyping that up.
I'm going to call it the K-pop burger.
Did you decide? Ooh.
Yeah, or Ooh. Something like that. I need a what's another Korean reference that doesn't involve Squid Game because it doesn't have squid on it. If it had calamari on there, it could be a Squid Game burger.
Hey, all right.
What's another Korean reference?
LG, life's good. It's made in Korea.
Oh, yeah, is it?
Yeah.
What about Kia?
Kia, okay.
Is that Korean?
I think so.
Are they a Korean car maker?
Yeah, that's what the K stands for.
I'm going to call it the K-pop burger. No, I'm going to call it the Ultimate Korean Burger. So basically, I made this last night. About 2-3 weeks ago, I started making the kimchi.
Okay.
And so I took the kimchi
you're a method man.
I made the kimchi at home from scratch. I fermented it for a week. I put it in the fridge before we left for vacation, so it's been sitting in the fridge for almost 2 weeks.
What did you put in there? Did you use Napa cabbage?
Of course.
Okay, what else you put in there?
I know how to make my kimchi.
What else you put in it?
You know, shaved ginger,
ooh,
fresh ginger, lots of garlic, hand-peeled garlic cloves, not the pre-chopped stuff.
Oh, not the slave labor stuff?
A little bit of oyster sauce, a little bit of soy sauce, some sugar, some julienne carrots, all the good stuff. Ooh. You know, all the
how
good stuff.
How about for spice?
Well, you got to use the gochugaru powder.
Okay.
Which is...
but like not gochujang.
Not gochujang. That doesn't come till later. But gochugaru powder is it's dried red chili powder.
Mm.
And so you put that in there, and that makes it a little bit spicy.
Also gives it that amazing brightness.
So I made my own kimchi, and that was about 3 weeks ago. So it's been sitting in my fridge ready to go. So when we came home,
You didn't have to burp it while you were gone? It was already jarred.
It was already jarred.
Okay.
Woo. So I fermented it before I left. Yeah, it took like a week. And then I jarred it up and put it in the fridge. Once it goes in the fridge, it stops the fermentation process. Okay. So you don't have to burp it anymore.
You're not exploding anything.
I made the burgers. And I put a gochujang aioli. So just gochujang paste and mayo. So I made a gochujang aioli. I also did gochujang spam. I did some slices of gochujang spam, fried them up, put that on the burger, and then I also did some kimchi and a fried egg on top.
Oh, yes!
And I went with the...
any cheese?
I went with the Munster cheese.
Really?
Yeah.
Okay, it's a little creamier. I like it.
Yeah, so I'll show you a
picture.
And
the orange of the Munster has got to look so good with everything.
Yeah, so there you can see I've got the kimchi... The fried egg.
Oh,
I've got
use pre-sliced
the gochujang aioli. Yeah, I got all the good stuff. And the fried egg and everything on there.
Mm.
Oh, dude, it was so good. Highly recommend.
Fried egg, melted it. Now, what kind of buns did you go with?
The artisanal buns that they make over at Foodland.
Love Foodland.
That you get from the bakery. Oh, very nice and fluffy, very soft, very fresh. And so I think I'm going to make another one when I go home this afternoon.
Just like us.
I'm looking forward to it.
Listen what I say.
So I'll put that on Instagram so you guys can see the pictures of all the stuff that I made that went into the Korean burger. And I made one for Diana as well. She very much enjoyed it.
She's like, it's
such a big burger. How am I supposed to eat this? And then she mopped the whole thing. It was so good.
She's like,
very sloppy.
How am I supposed to eat this?
Very sloppy, but very delicious.
Mm, the way it should be.
So for listeners at home, if you have some gochujang spam at home, you can use regular spam if you don't have it. But if you have the gochujang spam, highly recommend.
If
Mike, I'm looking at
show,
you.
You should have gochujang spam.
Yeah.
And your gochujang gang.
And if you're in Hawaii... Just go over to Costco and pick up some gochujang spam.
I have a gochujang honey that I put on stuff too.
Ooh, that sounds yummy. Mm-hmm. The gochujang paste that I have, I think Christy brought that to me from Trader Joe's.
It's so good.
Isn't that great?
Mm-hmm.
All right. You got anything quick for Gluttony Club?
I went to, I got a vodka that I really liked. I got a little
Not in Italy, I'm guessing.
Finally. I went, you know, I live right next to the Hilton in Kihei. I finally went to their restaurant that they have on the beach. And prices are cool. And I got...
What restaurant?
It's called, like, the Beach Club or something.
Oh, okay.
And I know it's kind of by Isano's. It's been open a year. I'd never been to it. I thought it was just fried food. Turns out I like fried food.
Wait, that's a Hilton over there?
Yeah, isn't that nuts?
Huh.
Yeah.
I don't think I've ever been there.
No.
I've been to Isano's many times.
Beautiful property, and that's a cool little pool area.
I like hanging out at the Sunseeker.
Yeah, do you?
It's a little inside joke for you Kihei people.
Light martini, man.
Light
so
cheese,
good.
Yeah.
And I usually don't like hurricane fries. I think I like hurricane fries again.
We went to the drugstore at in Italy. It didn't have any type of
drugs.
Like medicine or anything, but they did have
light. Apothecary.
They did have lychee soap.
I should have got it. I'm so
very
stupid.
Nice.
So stupid.
So dumb. Come on, Chuck.
Come on. All righty. Let's do a show.
Okay. So. This is the Biscuits and Gravy Show.
On KKU 88.5, the voice of...
Gravy.
He's Vincent Fodi. I'm Chuck Sauce. And thank you so much for being a part of the Biscuits and Gravy team.
Today's show is brought to us by Alec Baldwin's Hair Restoration Cream. Dealing with hair loss? You need a Baldwin.
Whoa.
Don't be departed from your hair.
Yeah, here warning. Read that product one. May be rusty. All right. Oh, I saw a video about him this morning. Today's show is underrated in part by Topher Grace's Etiquette School. When you go for grace,
call Topher Grace. And today's show is brought to us by Judge Reinhold's Rindholders. Tired of slippery fruit? Never drop your watermelon again with Judge Reinhold's Rindholders. So we got to do a quick little spoiler alert.
Oh, yeah.
There's so much good TV. So much good TV going on right now. I'm still one episode away from finishing season 2 of Severance.
They're pulling it off so far?
I got to watch episode 9 last night. Yeah, I mean, it's sort of like every episode, you just want them to be like, tell you what's going on, you know? But, I mean, that's part of the fun is waiting to find out what happens. So hopefully, I'm about to watch the last episode tonight. Hopefully, they'll tell you what's going on.
The cave in.
There's an episode mid-season where it has the lady that played Brianna Tarth.
Really?
In Game of Thrones. And she's like hanging out with these goat people.
Well, they explain the goat people more?
No.
Oh.
They just show the fact that there is goat people. Oh. It's such a weird show, but I'm enjoying it. It's fun. I like to get stoned and watch Severance. It's a good time.
Just like us.
Also, The Pit. On HBO, if you guys aren't watching The Pit,
I am so blown away.
Oh man, it's so
good.
Like
a medical drama show.
It's I like any show when it's done right.
And that's good open mindedness.
And The Pit
that's good. That's good. I gotta remember that. I'm kind of closed minded.
Also, I watched that movie Flow, the animated movie with
cats.
The capybara and the cats and everything. If you haven't seen that, that's a fun watch.
Would you recommend smoking weed and watching that movie?
I recommend smoking weed and doing pretty much anything except driving. If you haven't seen Invincible, the show on Amazon Prime, Invincible is one of my favorite shows. Season 3 of that just finished up, so you can watch all of it. It's all available to stream.
How about any movies? Any other movies? Non-Oscar winners.
Non-Oscar nominated movies?
Mm-hmm.
I don't know. Nothing comes to mind.
I saw the new Wolverine movie with Deadpool, and it was something.
But that came out like 6 months ago.
Yeah, I just saw it right now on the airplane. It was something.
It was fine.
Yeah,
it was probably something. My least enjoyed Deadpool movie.
Is Deadpool 2 better? I haven't seen Deadpool 2.
Yeah, it was also my least enjoyed Wolverine movie also.
Really?
Although the one with Ryan Reynolds where he plays the other Deadpool was not that great. But there's that cool scene where...
Gimp Deadpool?
Gimp Deadpool. Also, if you are an anime fan, watch Solo Leveling. It's available on Crunchyroll. Season 2 is just about to finish airing. And, ooh, hot news. Oh. They just said the release date for Season 8 of Rick and Morty, May 23rd.
Oh, at least one good
thing. So there's a teaser trailer for Season 8 of Rick and Morty available on YouTube. Go watch that right now. And that means now it's time for Chuck Stuff the Knowledge Buffalo. And Chuck Stuff the Knowledge Buffalo is when Chuck tries to prove he's the smartest buffalo in the room.
I'm the smartest buffalo alive!
Chuck Stuff Knowledge Buffalo is brought to us by Benedict Cumberbatch's Pack Mules. Get unencumbered
Ooh.
With Benedict Cumberbatch's Pack Mules.
Funding for the Biscuits and Gravy Show comes in part by lovely, community-minded celebrity sponsors like Scarlett Johansson Stationery. Make every letter a scarlet letter.
And also Benedict Cumberbatch's Wholesale Brown Pigment. Get your next Umberbatch from Cumberbatch.
Chibbity, chibbity, chibbity.
All right. Our first question comes from Mark in Baltimore, Maryland. I picked this one specifically because we just got back from Italy. Mark wants to know, what year was Italy unified as a country?
1859.
I'm going to give you a plus or minus of 5 years.
1860? No, it was 18... I'm thinking with 1859, 1860.
1861. Very good.
Really? Yeah, okay.
So you thought that was going to be a tough question, but joke's on you, Mark, you dum-dum,
yeah.
Because we learned all about that from Anna.
Anna, who's amazing.
While we were in Italy. Mm. All right. Our second question comes from Amy in San Jose, California. Amy wants to know, what countries were recently hit by a 7.7 magnitude earthquake?
What is Myanmar and yes. Thailand?
That's correct. I didn't need both of them, but very good.
Now,
although,
why are we not eating any Myanmar's food? Myanmar's food.
With friends like you, who needs Myanmar's?
Yeah, we got Indian food. We got Thai food, right?
It'll always be Burma to me.
But we got no Burmese food.
All right. And our third question is always a sports question because, as you know, sports is Chuck's Achilles hoof. Our third question comes from Bill in Kihei. He wants to know, the Yankees player Jazz Chisholm wears custom cleats with an anime character on it. What anime does he love and wears custom cleats for? It's one of the most popular animes in the world.
Naruto.
That would be a good guess. It's not right. I'll give you one more guess.
Baruto?
No, I'm sorry. Hold on. Oh, I'm sorry.
Most popular anime in the world. Cowboy Bebop?
The correct answer is One Piece. One Piece is
really?
What we're looking for.
Really? He's the... Wow.
And you didn't get all three, but you did get two out of three. And you know what our deceased friend Meatloaf always says?
Plus two out of three.
Yeah, I love Meatloaf, dude. I'm so emotional.
And that also means that that's the end of our show.
But not the end of Biscuits and Gravy, baby. We are the Truth Network. We are the Biscuit Network.
That
we got radio smothered and covered, baby. Vincent Archangel Gravy III, thank you so much for being a part of my day, a part of my night, a part of everything. And from me to you, aloha! Ba-doop, boop, ba-doop, boop.